Imagine living right next door to one of the most stunning national parks in the world, but you aren't allowed through the gates because you simply can't afford the ticket.
Yeah, that's a tough reality.
Right. But in 2015, that was the reality for nearly half of South Africa. So today we are taking a deep dive into the country's national tourism sector strategy for 2016 to 2026.
Okay.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are going to look at how a nation plans to take its iconic natural beauty and engineer it into a trillion rand economic engine.
And it's driven by innovation and that collaborative spirit of Ubuntu. And understanding this macroeconomic blueprint matters to you because it's basically a masterclass in how a modern country sells its most valuable asset, which is itself.
Exactly. And to understand the sheer scale of this, you really have to look at tourism differently. It's essentially an export industry, but the product never actually leaves the country.
Right, you import the consumers.
Yeah, you capture their foreign currency and distribute it right into the local economy. It's like realizing your favorite local restaurant is actually keeping your entire neighborhood's economy afloat.
That is a great analogy.
Thanks. And in 2015 alone, that engine generated 375 billion rand. That is almost 10% of South Africa's GDP, and it supported over 1.5 million jobs. And their target for 2026, 941 billion rand and 2.2 million
It's
jobs.
just a massive leap.
Right. It feels incredibly optimistic because a single external shock like that 2015 slump they had, which was triggered by regional Ebola fears and some really strict visa rules that can wipe out growth overnight. How does a country sustain this massive leap when external factors can just crash the market?
Well, what's fascinating here is their pivot to a pillar they call ease of access. They realized they couldn't always control global panic, but they could absolutely control the friction at their own borders.
So making it easier to just get in the front door.
Exactly. Having a world-class destination is useless if the door is stuck shut. So they overhauled their visa processing to make it seamless, and they aggressively negotiated better airlift capacity.
Which means, like, better flight routes.
Yeah, working with airlines for better landing slots, higher flight frequency, things like that. And that direct removal of physical friction actually worked. By 2016, they rebounded to over 10 million international tourists.
Wow. Okay, so they fixed the physical borders. But here's where it gets really interesting. Almost immediately, they were hit with digital friction inside those borders. As the international money flowed back in, it brought disruptive technologies like Airbnb and Uber.
So for sure, it's a huge regulatory headache.
Right, you suddenly have local hotel owners who pay commercial taxes competing against this entirely unregulated market of private home rentals.
Yeah, the traditional industry felt completely undercut.
Exactly. And that tension bleeds right into the domestic side. While international numbers were recovering, domestic holiday trips taken by South Africans actually plummeted by 12.5% in 2015.
That domestic dilemma is so critical.
It is. The strategy bluntly states that 48% of the adult population couldn't afford to travel or lacked income entirely. It's so ironic they rank highly globally for natural resources, yet half the citizens can't afford to experience them. How is this blueprint actually fixing that inequality for you and me, rather than just catering to wealthy foreigners?
That connects directly to their broad-based benefits pillar. They couldn't just rely on trickle-down economics, you know. So they leveraged BBBE, which is broad-based Black economic empowerment.
Okay, so like corporate quotas?
No, actually, it's much deeper than that. It's a mechanism to give marginalized rural communities actual equity stakes in management roles. Like if a luxury safari camp opens, the local township needs to have ownership in that success.
Okay, that addresses the business side, but what about the locals who just want to visit the park for a weekend?
Right, for them, they introduced the Domestic Travel Facilitation Program. The goal is to structurally unlock travel for lower income brackets.
So making it cheaper.
Basically, yeah. Implementing tiered pricing, where locals pay a fraction of the international fee to enter national parks, and creating subsidized domestic packages.
So working-class citizens can actually get there.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? We have these pillars: marketing, ease of access, visitor experience, destination management, and broad-based benefits. It really paints a picture of a deeply interdependent ecosystem.
It does.
I mean, you can market a beautiful landscape, but if visas are too hard to get, no one arrives. And if tourists do arrive, but locals are priced out, you lose the social stability that makes the destination appealing in the first place.
Spot on. If we connect this to the bigger picture, tourism is really a vital tool for social cohesion. When citizens are empowered to explore their own country, they interact across divides. It builds a stronger, unified society from the ground up.
It's about claiming ownership of your own heritage.
Yeah.
Which is a profound way to look at a vacation. If an entire nation has to strategize this deeply about how to help citizens experience their own backyard, well, it makes you wonder, how much of your own country or even your own city have you yet to explore simply because it wasn't marketed to you?